ಮೋಗ ಉಠಿಲ ಪ್ರೇಮೋನ್ಮಾದ ಮತ್ತ ಹೇ ನಾಚಿತೆ ಲಾಗಿಲ ಸುನಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಲಿ ಅಮೋಗ ಉಠಿಲ ಪ್ರೇಮೋನ್ಮಾದೆ ಮತ ಹೈಲ ಹಯ್ಯಾ ನಾಚಿತೆ ಲಾಗಿಲ ಸುನಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಲಿ ಅಮೋಗ ಉಠಿಲ ಪ್ರೇಮೋನ್ಮಾದೆ ಮತ ಹಯ್ಯಾ ನಾಚಿತೆ ಲಾಗಿಲ Response.
Sune Krishna Krishna Bali Amoga Uthila.
Sune Krishna Krishna Bali Amoga Uthila.
Prema Unmade Matta Haiya Nachite Lagila.
Prema Unmade Matta Haiya Nachite Lagila.
Sune Krishna Krishna Bali Amoga Uthila.
Sune Krishna Krishna Bali Amoga Uthila.
Suni, hearing, Krishna, Krishna, the holy name of Krishna, Bali, speaking, Amoga Uthila, Amoga stood up, Premonmade, in ecstatic love for of Krishna, Matahaya, becoming maddened, Nachite Lagila, began to dance. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. After hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay.
Translation. After hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and being touched by him, Amoga, who was on his deathbed, immediately stood up and began chanting the holy name of Krishna. Thus he became mad with ecstatic love and began to dance emotionally. So a little bit of the where we are in the chapter is the chapter is called Sarva Bhoma Offers Prasadam to the Lord. So it's a long chapter, and today we're going to be concluding it. And this part here is quite fascinating. There's a change that just took place. And if we recall, the way that the story was presenting itself is that Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya invited Lord Chaitanya to take prasadam for a month. And then they negotiated it back and forth, till they finally got it to 5 days. And then when Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya and his wife, they started preparing this huge, they were so ecstatic. Because we have to remember that this relationship with Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya is developed from a long time ago already, that Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya is an extraordinary personality, and his, in the Chaitanya teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada gave basically five summaries of the philosophy in there. There was Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya was one for the impersonalist, and also Prakashananda Saraswati. And then there's the other three, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Ramananda Roy. So those five are there. So this interaction with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is quite exemplary in many, many ways. In the Bhagavatam, it says that the Lord teaches the daughter. Well, it says that the father teaches the daughter. The mother teaches the daughter to instruct the daughter-in-law. So we're getting a lot of instructions by these pastimes. So anyway, he has a daughter, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and the daughter's married to Amoga. But Amoga had this tendency that he found pleasure in seeing things that the devotees were doing wrong. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that, but this is one of those opportunities for us to learn about it by reading. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was aware of that and was guarding the door to make sure he didn't come in when Lord Chaitanya was there in apprehension. So he got in. Moga got in and saw Lord Chaitanya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife had prepared this extraordinary feast that even Lord Chaitanya was amazed at how it was even possible. And it had a very elaborate description. It would take days and days, and they did it all in, 6 hours or something. So he was just amazed. So when Lord Chaitanya's looking at it, Amoga slips in, and he sees this, and he says, "This is enough for 10 people." So that made Sarvabhauma very upset. And he chased after him with a stick. But Sarvabhauma was older, and his son-in-law escaped. However, very soon, he got a critical disease of cholera, I think it was, and he was about to die. And Sarvabhauma was thinking, "Oh, so nice that Providence sometimes fulfills your desires without you even having to do it." He was so glad that, because he had prayed that, "May my daughter become a widow." So he was so happy. But Lord Chaitanya showed him his mercy. And that's going to be the theme that I'm going to try to bring out in these verses that we're going to read, is this mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Because we also find quite a similar experience with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and when his heart was changed. And we can also see it in our own lives. What is it when we're feeling and viewing the mercy? And we can see what happens. He went from finding happiness in seeing the things that devotees and the Lord do that are incorrect. Krishna, of course, from within his heart, he also allows that. He gives him that through his agency. It's a material energy. But what it feels like here when you get the mercy. So this is something, just like that person once asked me to look at my watch and tell me who the manufacturer was. And when I did it, I said it was a Casio. And then they asked me what time it was. And I said, I didn't know. I was going to have to look again. He said, "Well, you just looked at your watch." And he was making the point that we only see what we're looking for. So for the next couple minutes, I'm going to try to point out that what it's like when you're looking to see the mercy of, and I think that in this pastime, we can really see the difference between just dying, which in fact, we all, in the bodily conception of life, Lord Brahma, is it what, 3:12:2, it says that when one first comes into the material creation, Lord Brahma gives him five types of engagement. And there's a fear of death, the bodily conception of life, self-deception. You remember the other two? Fear and illusion. So every conditioned soul is simply struggling, and just like Lord Chaitanya, he asked Haridas Thakur, how are they going to be delivered? The Lord feels the pain of the living entities out of his natural love, and they're just waiting actually for the mercy. So everyone, even though I'm getting ahead of myself, it pours in. I think it's Srila Prabhupada, because we chant every day about that mercy. Do you know what we chant every day about the mercy? It's the first things that we chant, samsara, dava, and that every living entity is burning in this forest fire. And the spiritual master, he's receiving benediction from the ocean of mercy. And then ganaganatvam, he's like a cloud that he distributed. So this is just like the book distributors, I always think. They go to the book room, which is the ocean of mercy. They load up all the drops of mercy, and like a cloud, they go out and they give people these drops of mercy, just like that. Whomever you meet, instruct them on the instructions. Okay. So I'm going to read, we just understand that he's just been touched by the Lord, and he heard his holy name, and now he's going from being on his deathbed, he became mad with ecstatic love and began to dance emotionally. What's the second verse of the Guru Vastika? Mahaprabhu Kirtan Mritya. Dancing. Dancing in ecstasy. And what's he relishing within his mind? Manaso rasena. He's relishing pure devotional service. So it says that the Lord is attracted by your elevated qualities. And the specific quality that Guru Krishna prasade, what's that prasade? Mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master. So we're going to go on and read some more. While Amoga danced in ecstasy, he manifests all the ecstatic symptoms, trembling, tears, jubilation, trance, perspiration, and a faltering voice. Seeing these waves of ecstatic emotion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to laugh. So we also understand, I remember having this conversation with somebody that wasn't so much pro-ISKCON. Imagine that. That how Prabhupada was, he said, you come into the Rathyatras, you chant and dance in ecstasy. And this person, he was quite a scholar. He was saying, well, there's all these different symptoms of bhava. And he says, and bhava comes in, and he's mentioning sneha and pranaya and these highly elevated qualities. So he says, how can anybody be dancing in ecstasy? So here we're learning how that's done by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master. Okay. Although, Amoga then fell. Oh, are we keeping up? Yeah, thank you. Amoga then fell before the Lord's lotus feet and submissively said, oh, merciful Lord, please excuse my offense. So he's set an example for us also, this mercy, how I made up a saying once, just way I do stuff, that through appreciation, one can experience Krishna's presence. But I wanted to write it down, so I wasn't sure how do you spell presence. So I said, oh, you could spell two different ways. Right? That makes it a pun. And so that's the pun, that if you start to think about it, even in our present condition, which is most of us are in anartha nivritti stage and Maya is still making sure we're getting the point about trying to exist in this material world without just serving Krishna's happiness and the spiritual master's pleasure. So when we're feeling the point of trying to help us understand that, we can make these different prayers and appreciate still at our stage what it is that we're being offered here, what we're being given. And that's unlimited. It's not just a little thing. That can take you all the way through to the other side of the Virata River. Amoga, always chant. Oh, so this, wait a second, I guess I skipped the verse. Okay, so he said, excuse my offense, and I turned it. Not only did Amoga beg the Lord's pardon, but he also began slapping his own cheeks, saying, by this mouth I have blasphemed you. Indeed, Amoga continued slapping his face over and over until his cheeks were swollen. Finally, Gopinathacharya stopped him by catching hold of his hands. Now, Gopinathacharya, we can remember back to a conversation that he had with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But before I go on, Om Ajnana Timitandasya Jnana Anjana Salakaya Chaksumili Tanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jayatam Surito Pangur Mamamanda Matergati Matsarva Swapatambo Jo Radha Madana Mohano Jai, my director and their lotus feet everything. Gopinathacharya happened to mention to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in chapter 6, before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya got the mercy, so to speak. He says, it's quite a humorous conversation. It starts off with, my dear Bhattacharya, you do not know the greatness of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All the symptoms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are found in him to the highest degree. I'm just going to read a couple verses from this. We're on Majjha 6, chapter 7, verse 79. Lord Chaitanya is celebrated as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are ignorant in this connection find the conclusion of knowledgeable men very difficult to understand. So he's starting off being rather polite like that. However, they don't go down easily without a fight. So he said, the disciples of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, by what evidence do you conclude that the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord? Gopinath replied, it is a statement of authorized acharyas who understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the proof. And then he says, the disciples of the Bhattacharya said, we derive knowledge of the absolute truth by logical hypothesis. Gopinath replied, one cannot obtain real knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by logical hypothesis and argument. What do they get? How do they do it? What is the answer to the question? Do you remember what he says next? He continues on that point. He says, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead only by his mercy, not by guesswork and hypothesis. So this mercy is what we're seeing demonstrated over and over again. And then, of course, if we look at a verse that we said today, we said it this morning, we always say Adi Lila chapter 8, verse 16, which is, if one is infested with the 10 offenses and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, despite his endeavor to chant the holy name for many births, he will not get love of Godhead, which was the ultimate goal of his chanting. But what's the verse before that? It's so fascinating. We certain verses stand out, and we always do those verses. But as time goes on, it's interesting to note the verse before it and the verse after, get a little bit more. So the verse before it is, if you are indeed interested in logic and argument, kindly apply it to the mercy of the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you do so, you will find it strikingly wonderful. So if you are inclined, got hit with the whip of it gives you a cathartic. So Gopinath Acharya, he says earlier that unless you have, maybe I'll just read it. So the next verse after that one is, the Acharya continued, if one receives but a tiny bit of the Lord's favor by dint of devotional service, he can understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he says, he's starting to, Gopinath Acharya, when he's talking to Sarvabhauma, he says, he addressed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you are a great scholar and a teacher of many disciples. Indeed, there is no scholar like you on earth. Nevertheless, because you are bereft of even a pinch of the Lord's mercy, you cannot understand him, even though he is present in your home. So how important it is. He's the greatest, perhaps one of the greatest scholars. We remember one little thing about him. He was interested in some books that were only contained in this one university, and they wouldn't let the books out. So you remember what he did? He went to there and he just memorized their library. And then he goes back and transcribes it. So what type, who can do something like that? Just memorize a sloka. I can't even learn to read, but he memorized a library. So, but he was missing the drop of mercy. So how essential, how important is this mercy for us to have it, to request it, to be conscious? Because you can basically focus everything in on it. Sometimes we forget, we think, I'm a devotee, I do this, I do that. But everything we're doing is to precipitate the mercy, just like with the holy name. We're trying to attract the mercy of the holy name to manifest to us. It, by its mercy and its own individualness, that it manifests or doesn't manifest. We know from the Harinam Chintamani that if one makes offenses, the holy name won't manifest its potential, what it can do. It's personal. It's person. The holy name's a person. And it, if you make, so we're precipitating, just like, there's a type of attitude called entitlement. People use that word nowadays, where I did this, I'm entitled to that. But that's not exactly how it works, entitlement. We're requesting, just like sometimes when someone is in the court, they say, no contest, I'm at the mercy of the court. So just like it says when you take initiation, the spiritual master, you have a debt to the spiritual master. Now, when one thinks about, can I repay that debt? I'll do a little bit and then I'll pay it off. You never can pay it off. So along that same line of in continuation is this mercy. That without this mercy, you know what, where we'll be and what will happen? You know what happens when that mercy gets cut off? 3.5 Bhagavad Gita. Everyone's forced to act helplessly. And the conditioned souls, they do the most ridiculous things. And that's only in the human form of life. Then they're put into the lower species of life where they're forced to, we know we have a lot of science in Krishna consciousness. We know what pigs eat. We know you can offer them halwa and they won't take it, you know, because they have their preferred food, high in phosphate and fatty. We learn all these things about the nutritional desires of other animals. So we're forced over and over again, so that when we recognize we'll be in those situations, we've been in those situations, and it's only by mercy that we're not. So he's feeling that at this particular moment, and he's smacking his cheeks so much that they're swollen. So the same Gopinath Acharya who knows about mercy, that you need a drop, he says he's got the mercy. He got the mercy. So we also, so he stopped him. And all right. So, and we know that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he got the mercy. And how much happiness that gave to Lord Chaitanya. Do you remember he came, Lord Chaitanya came and brought him some Maha Prasadam early in the morning before he had taken his ritualistic bath and all the activities that one does in the morning, all the regulations. And but it also, there's another verse popped in my mind. It says that the Lord comes to relieve the world of the burden of mundane religion. So that's another part of his mercy. So when he took prasadam without following all the specific rules, that gave the Lord kind so much happiness. All right. So, so we were at the slapping stage. So he says, indeed, continued slapping, his cheeks became swollen. Finally, Gopinath Acharya stopped him by catching hold of his hands. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified Amoga by touching his body and saying, "You are the object of my affection because you are the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya." Now, didn't Madhmokya just read about the parents of the devotees? Because your child is a devotee, your parents are going to be blessed by the mercy of the Lord. And here we're seeing the same consistency how much Lord Chaitanya, because of his affection for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he has affection for this blasphemer who is dying. And personally, Lord Chaitanya didn't take offense. He said, Lord Chaitanya had a way of precipitating that out of other people. We know from the Puri, Ramananda Puri. He also noticed, actually he didn't even see anything. He just concluded that there was ants in the room, that Lord Chaitanya must be eating sweets. So Lord Chaitanya cut his eating down. So this is part of the transformation. If we're noticing a transformation here, it says in backstories, when Lord Chaitanya, after he converted the residents of Arnaris to devotees from impersonalists, he told them to study the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam, it picks up where the tattva from the Bhagavad Gita, and now we're in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so there's a continuation. And this verse was mentioned in Madhya 25.265. It says that Krishna consciousness means these six things, understanding these six things. Yeah, that one I could memorize. It's only got about four words. Krishna tattva. One has to understand this sambandha jnana. This Krishna tattva. And how do you understand things? So Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, prema tattva, sara. Bhava tattva, rasa tattva, lila tattva, are. So we're seeing in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, how it's being acted upon from the Bhagavatam. We're just reading about the Bhagavatam, and more these different six categories are being developed, because that's what Krishna conscious means. And in this one, we're also seeing this, the rasa tattva and lila tattva, how these aspects of understanding the truth about the transcendental nature of Krishna's activities and appearance, then you're liberated. So we're understanding that these truths of this, and it's nice to notice that we're able to develop the perception and feel these things. This is what makes up the Krishna consciousness, because this is our real identity. Our real feelings are in these, just hearing submissively and understanding the importance of the character development that takes place when we hear these things in ourselves, because ultimately, it says education is for developing character. And you remember, even Chanaka Pandit says that there's three things you can tell about a learned person, and it wasn't that they took a test and got a degree, it's how they treated other people, specifically their possessions, that they belong to someone else. And we know that the devotee, prasanatma, shall not want. He doesn't have any, he has his desires under control. He understands the nature of being embodied and how the senses and the sense objects are going to interact, but he has his knowledge how to recognize the external energy and the internal energy, so he's always praying. That reminds me of one little story, if you patiently listen for a minute. I was about 8 years old, just a little fellow, and I was with my parents in Sears. And even though I was young like that, I still liked the tool department, because I always like to see how things work. So in there, they had a vacuum cleaner display, and vacuum cleaners are kind of neat. And this one, they had it reversed, and it was holding a beach ball up in the air by the discharge of the vacuum cleaner was a blower, and it was holding the ball up in the air. So I'm looking at it as a little child. I'm saying, how's that ball just floating in the air? So I figured it out. It must be the air coming from that vacuum cleaner underneath. But you know what I did? I put my hand in between the air and the ball. And you know what happened? The ball fell right like that. I took off running. I was scared. I just broke their display. So you didn't see the air, but you knew it was there. And if you took it off, it falls. So how am I using this analogy? Is that we're all held up by mercy. That we're being held away from the pull, that gravitational pull of Maya to help us, where we're being forced to act helplessly by these modes. You can't get away from those modes unless you have that mercy, which you may not see physically, but that's what holds us up. And that hand, that's, if you make an offense, you lose that floating capacity to float above, because that floating is also called aloof. Chapter 5, text 8 and 9, those in divine consciousness, even though they're engaged with all the senses and the sense objects, they're not affected because they're aloof, and they're aloof by that mercy. So how essential it is to maintain it and be conscious of it. And even at our stage, we have so much things that we're not doing. Sometimes I would just count how many things I'm doing right by Prabhupada's mercy, especially like on Ekadasi or one of those days where everything you're doing is just so much right. It's so good that what we're doing by Prabhupada's mercy. So that's what I think about. All right, so I'm going to read on here. So this is Lord Chaitanya's talking about his affection for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Everyone in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house is very dear to me, including his maids and servants and even his dog. What to speak of his relatives? Even the dog, dear. So, Bhakti Vatsala. But we can only imagine so much. And as the mercy is assimilated or experienced by the devotee, it goes beyond imagination. It goes beyond anything you could even think about. And that's where the emotions start changing your constitution. All right, Amogha, always chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Do not commit any further offenses. After giving Amogha these instructions, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. So what was as instructions is don't commit offenses. And when we get initiated, almost, at least not, as far as I recall, Prabhupada would always give the lecture on the 10 offenses, on how, because he's giving us Krishna, the deity of Krishna in his holy name, installed. Just like there's deities and you have an installation ceremony. So when we get initiated, we have an installation ceremony of the holy name for us. So we get, and just like when Prabhupada would say, after installing the deities, he would sometimes pray to Krishna that I'm having you being taken care of by my disciples, you know. And he was concerned. I remember one time he visited a temple and the deities looked wonderful. And Prabhupada says, the deities look wonderful. And then Prabhupada said something that was quite striking. He says, that is my fear. And he says, well, why would that be your fear that the deities look wonderful? He says, because I'm here now, and you're doing that because I'm here. Will you still do it when I'm not here? So an interesting idea. So to maintain that consciousness, which is Lord Chaitanya's program, is the highest service, is service and separation. So we know that Prabhupada, when he came to America, he says, we came to America. He says, I'm never separated from my spiritual master because he's living in his instructions. So we're hearing, we're following his instructions. Just like when we come to class, sometimes there's different, for different reasons, some of us can make it to class and some of us can't. We listen outside. But sometimes we make discrimination on coming. And for myself, I was thinking, Prabhupada's pleased when we support each other. In fact, how we deal with each other is so important. It's like, what do you say? The test of your love will be how you cooperate. And then, was it Vishnu? Was it the Prachetas? I'm very much pleased with your devotional cooperation, how you cooperate with each other. He says, you can ask any benediction. So that's the life in Nectar of Instruction. It says these six types of loving exchanges nourish the society, it nourishes the devotees. And it's fascinating that if you take sectarianism out of understanding Krishna consciousness, even in the Bible, Christ was asked, how will people know who are your disciples? So with taking sectarianism out, that second-class devotees, they have these four things. And it's how they make friendship with the devotees. They preach to the innocent. They avoid the non-devotees. And they love Krishna, which is the primary first one. So he says, you can tell my disciples by how they interact with each other, the love that they show each other in their interacting. 13, 17, I forgot the verse right now. But it explains in John how that's how people recognize. In fact, when if you visit other centers or even churches, the main thing that people feel is the camaraderie between the personalities there. Because I noticed when I was growing up that I had a dog, and you notice that people talk to their dogs all the time. But I don't think dogs have